Canucks Central Wednesday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. This hour of Canucks Central is brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Fast lunch doesn't have to mean fast food. Satisfy your midday cravings by choosing a main, side, and drink for only $15, served in 20 minutes or less. Sat?
Yes, sir.
What's up?
Today's the day you get to gloat.
Ha ha, yes. You know me, I like a good flex.
Today is a day that Sat gets to gloat.
Yeah.
The little friendly wager we had together as a group here, Sat has won it.
Yes.
We all thought Pugh Suter was going to get a nice contract in free agency, something upwards of $18 million total money. Total value, and that did not happen. He didn't get close.
Yeah, I mean, so the conversation started because we were debating whether Pugh Suter was going to get $4 million or more on the market and over term.
Yes,
and I was very skeptical that he was going to get $4 million plus over term. So we set it at $18 million. I took under $18 million. You took over $18 million. Mm-hmm. Josh took over $18 million. Producer Zach, who was here, took over $18 million. It was me against everyone. and the text inbox.
I blame his agent.
You're blaming George Mueller?
His agent owes you a coffee, not me.
Yeah, hey, well, I mean, listen, I don't need to collect the coffee. It was more about, you know.
And now he's not even going to taste. Such a humble win.
It's fair to say Pugh Suter's market was softer than expected.
Yeah.
Pew, pew.
And listen, this is what we were saying about Pugh. So like, as good as he is, he's under 6 feet tall. We know that matters for NHL GMs. He doesn't win faceoffs, and he's not fast.
Yeah.
I think those
But he's still a very good hockey player.
100%. But you saw what the offer looked like. Now, do we want to get into this?
We do. It's the Open on Canuck Central.
Welcome to the Open.
Oh! That's your home! Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
The Open on Canucks Central, where we bring the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. The latest being the biggest remaining UFA the Canucks had going out has signed a contract, not with the Vancouver Canucks. It is Pugh Suter, who signs a 2-year deal at $8.25 total money, $4.125 on the average annual value. A very reasonable contract that Pugh Suter signs, and one a lot of Canucks fans are wondering, hey, how come the Canucks didn't do this?
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, you know, I took the under on $18 million, and he even got a bit less than I thought he would. Like, I thought, okay, 3 years, max four, but I thought, okay, maybe he's getting 4x3 or something along those lines. And we talked about how, okay, $12 million range and maybe to 16. Him getting 2x8.3 is even less than I thought he would get, and most people thought he would get. So, but it is a reflection of how GMs in general feel. And Christian Dvorak only got a 1-year deal as well, but I don't think the AAV matters here. Suter got $8.3 million. Dvorak got 5.4 over one. So Suter still got, you know, significantly more money. When you look at it being 5 versus 8.3, that's not quite double your money, but it's, you know, what is it, 40% more? So it's not insignificant.
Yes.
But it also kind of shows you, though, that again, because he's undersized, because he's not fast and doesn't win faceoffs and isn't known as good as he was as a two-way player, despite all the results, that he's not viewed as an ace two-way player you're going to put into a matchup role.
No, I mean, you look at all of the contracts that have been signed over the last couple of days, and there hasn't been a lot of term given out by NHL teams. You know, we talked about how, you know, it wasn't really a star-laden free agent class, and the contracts that were given out really do sort of highlight that and really hammer that point home, because the biggest contracts that were given out, again, Brock Besser and Vladislav Gavrikov, of all the unrestricted free agents that hit the market on July 1st. Now, we don't know what Nick Ehlers is going to sign for, but like, those are the only two that were signed for big money and big term at close to, and Besser was over $50 million.
Yeah,
everybody else got kind of 3-4 years, maybe even just 2 years, right?
Yeah,
just like Suter.
The only other two big deals were RFAs. Keandre Miller got $60 million, and Logan Stankoven got, was a 48 or whatever he got. But there are RFAs, different. You can't compare those. And I think it's unlikely, given that Ehlers now might be dragging into day three of free agency, that he's getting a contract that's going to be worth more than Gavrikov and Besser.
In total money?
Yeah.
That would be somewhat surprising. Like, I, if you actually crunch the numbers on it, Besser's career production rates are stronger than Nick Ehlers are.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting, though, because as much as intuitively, as outsiders, we look at this and we're like, talented hockey player. You see the eye test. You saw how good he was last year. Same thing with Pugh Suter. Obviously, these guys are going to get paid. But how they behave, but teams behave differently in terms of how they view players and how they view them within their team, and also how they base it off the production. And it's funny because it goes both ways. Because if you look at it on pure production for Pugh Suter, he should have got 4.5 by 4 or 5 by 5.
Yeah, he should have got like a Andrew Kopp kind of contract.
The only difference with him and guys like Andrew Kopp is he's smaller, not as big.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't win faceoffs.
Yeah.
Again, the same things I mentioned, but production-wise, it's even better. But that doesn't matter in that instance. But if you want to compare Ehlers and Besser, they'll probably take the comparisons and say, well, actually, Besser's been far more productive. He deserves a higher AAV in total money.
Yeah.
You may think that's ridiculous in terms of which one you think is the better player, but that's how the market behaves sometimes. And bringing it back to Pugh Suter, and we'll see what happens with Ehlers, but could the Canucks have done this? I think, obviously, I mean, they traded for Evander Kane. They signed Brock Besser. They could have done a contract like this for Pugh Suter. Obviously, considering where they are at now, I don't know what happened the last little bit, but what I did hear was that the Canucks did make an offer to Pugh Suter. I don't know the time frame for this, whether it was weeks ago, months ago, during the season or whatever, but that they did make an offer that was significantly more than what he signed for today.
Okay. Significantly more than the $8 million that he signed for. So
today. Yeah, I don't know the structure of it exactly, yeah. But at some point, they had discussions. Now, it didn't work out. Clearly, Besser or Suter thought the market would be far hotter for him than it actually was. So I don't know what happened now.
It was definitely a softer market than expected.
100%.
And you again, only get 2 years, $8 million. I mean,
I thought it was going to be soft and was softer than I thought.
So Suter got a bigger offer from the Canucks at some point, I guess around the end of the season.
I can't say timeline. Yeah. I just heard that they did make an offer that was better than whatever he signed for today. But for whatever reason, I don't know what happened with negotiations over time and why they didn't get to where they wanted to get to. Maybe Suter really thought he was going to get, or his agent thought he was going to get significantly more than whatever the Canucks offered. Let's say, like, again, we were having these discussions and, you know, I think Zach brought up that he might get 5 by 5. Like, people were having conversations outside, whether it's media, fans, and all this, talking about 5 by 5 maybe.
Yeah.
Did he actually think he was going to get 5 by 5 in free agency? Because if he thought he's going to get 5 by 5 or $20 million plus, and the Canucks, let's say, offered, again, I don't know if they offered this, let's say, for argument's sake, offered $13, $14
million. Yeah.
That's a far cry from 25. So I get why you say no, but, like, who miscalculated here?
Somebody did. It's clearly probably on the agent, you know. Suter, not to put it all on the agent, but, like, you look at it, and Suter has George Mueller is his agent, and Mueller has one client in the entire NHL, and it's Pugh Suter.
Yeah.
They went through that last free agency, didn't get a deal that they wanted, end up signing a bargain deal with the Vancouver Canucks in August. Now you go into this free agency, and you had a great end to the season. I did expect... I was surprised at how patient general managers were yesterday, considering how much money is available in the league, how much cap space is available in the league. I expected there to be bigger money out there for a lot of players, not just Pugh Suter, but I did expect him to get somewhere between $16 and $20 million. Like a 4-year deal somewhere in the 4 range.
Yeah.
Average annual value of $4 million.
Yeah.
That's why I made the play of more than 18 with you, because... You know, we split the difference between 16 and 20, and that was the number.
Yeah, exactly. I said, we came up with 18. And I don't think that's wrong in terms of what you were hoping to get, but it's also about you have to understand the market and where it's going. And again, I don't know what the Canucks offer was exactly, because I do know that the Canucks for a long time were very uncomfortable getting to Suter's numbers.
Yeah.
You know, Dhaliwal's reported that. I don't think he's wrong that they didn't get close to those numbers, but what was the demand that they weren't close to? Because I was under the assumption that, hey, they weren't in the 4 range. They weren't close, But I thought maybe like, hey, Suter wants 4x4 and the Canucks are offering 3x3.
Yeah.
But maybe it was more.
Mm-hmm.
And I was flabbergasted at how low the Suter money was at the end of the day. I think people with the Canucks were surprised as well. And it is unfortunate that whatever happened, they couldn't bridge that gap in that last few days or whatever. Because, you know, Alvin told us they would clear cap space if they could bring somebody back. And considering what he signed for, it's unfortunate that you couldn't make it work considering what the rate was.
It's where the annual salary was that I expected for Pew Suter, but less term than I expected for Pew Suter. So he signs with the St. Louis Blues coming off the great year that he had. And, you know, I kind of wonder about that. You know, is your calculation like what was the ask to the Vancouver Canucks in season when you're looking at this free agent class starting to bear out and saying this might be our big money ticket? Because if the Canucks were in the range of $4 million on a 3 to 4 year term, like, if you really wanted to stay in Vancouver, I feel like you accept that. That's just the way I view these things.
So, we don't have all the intel, so to speak. I know Dolly mentioned he would have taken less to stay in Vancouver and all that. And listen, what I mentioned was something that was offered earlier.
Yeah.
I don't have an exact timeline, but it was offered earlier. But clearly, I think Puce was under the impression that he was going to make a lot of money in free agency.
Yeah.
It's clear by how these negotiations went. And ultimately, it didn't work out. Now, whose fault was that? How does Pew Suit feel about it? I don't know. It's easy to just blame the agent or blame the Canucks or whatever. Again, it's you know, I don't want to, you know, point the barrel at anybody specifically. But I would say to that point about Pew didn't want to be here or not, if you're a Pew Suter and you're told that, hey, in free agency, you might get $25 million. And hypothetically, again, we don't know what the Canucks offer, but let's say the Canucks offer for $15
million. Yeah.
That's $10 million off of what you think you can get.
Yes.
So was this Suter not wanting to be here or Suter being under the impression that he was going to get significantly more than whatever the Canucks have put on the table?
It's probably a combination of all these things. You know, the pressure of the market and seeing where free agency was shaping up looked like this could be the year to really cash in. It didn't play out that way. You overplayed your hand. It happens.
Yeah.
But it's happened more than once now for this player, which is... somewhat puzzling to see how that has happened. Now, you know, if you're Pew Suter and you're shooting for $25 million, like maybe you are definitely overplaying your hand if that is the case. So I do think that there's a lot of nuance to this. Ultimately, the Canucks don't get Pew Suter. And now you're still looking for a center. They missed out on Christian Dvorak, as was reported. They were in on him. He ends up signing with the Philadelphia Flyers, goes back to his former coach, Rick Tocchet, whom he had in Arizona. They were obviously still, as Patrick Alvin said yesterday on the show, they'd be in on Suter if the numbers work and would consider moving players out in order to make it work, should that be the case.
And that's the other part. Like, why could it, considering what the number was?
Yeah.
How come that couldn't happen at least the last like 24, 48 hours?
Was Vancouver given a chance to match the offer? I don't know. But
that's the frustrating part. It's like if you could figure it. And again, like, listen, at the end of the day, like we're talking about Pew Suter here.
Yeah.
I don't want to sit here and act like we're talking about the Canucks losing out on Quinn Hughes. And it's
but
like, what'd you
do? As this text says, how are you going to replace Suter's 25 goals?
Well, they got Evander Kane, right?
Yes.
I'm just kidding, but. Technically, that's who they're replacing him with. Right?
Evander Kane is likely to score 20 to 25 goals.
If he's healthy.
Evander Kane, if he's healthy, is a better bet to score 20 to 25 goals than Pew Suter is.
Yeah, Suter was unlikely to replicate it considering his shooting percentage.
Suter gives other things that Evander doesn't, but...
Well, and again...
As far as goals are concerned, Evander Kane is a better goal scorer than Pew Suter.
But considering the money, it's more like the Canucks can use a center like Pew Suter right now.
Yeah,
you need somebody better over time, but hey,
well, he was a huge part of the penalty kill. I think that's probably the more pertinent question is how do you, the penalty kill was so good last year. Is it still going to be that good? Like you've got Teddy Bluger, sure. Is Pettersson going to have to do more penalty killing? How are you going to make that work? That's a bigger question to me than how do you fill those goals, because I think the Canucks have the goals filled already with Evander Kane and obviously Brock Besser coming back, likely Elias Pettersson returning to some level of form so that he brings his goal totals up next year as well. Like the goals I'm not too worried about replacing Pugh Suter's goals because I was never expecting him to bring back another 25 goals, even if he re-signed in Vancouver.
For sure, for sure. And this text says, it doesn't make any sense, though, the Canucks, that they withdraw their offer to Pugh Suter. The way negotiations works is like sometimes things are available at one point and then they're not available later on. And then the landscape changes. Clearly, they went out and got Evander Kane.
Yes. They went out and got Evander
Kane. They signed Brock Besser. They circled back on Pugh Suter, but again, like maybe when the Canucks circle back, let's say their offer still wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
On July 1st. Now it's July 2nd. Maybe then the equation changes. But at the end of the day, again, you can blame the Canucks. I'm not sitting here and defending them as far as the intel goes. But all I'm saying is, as far as how you go about it, they signed Brock Besser. They brought in Evander Kane. They re-signed their other players. And they checked in on July 1st.
Yeah.
Maybe that offer wasn't good enough then either. I don't know. Maybe it was withdrawn. But all I know is there were discussions before when that happened. And again, sometimes an offer gets rejected and it's gone.
Yeah.
You move on. You know what I mean? And it's kind of, okay, well, I guess we're not going to be, you know, doing anything for now. We'll maybe reconvene later on. And that happens. It's not like offers stay on the table forever.
Yeah.
They come in and they go.
They change. They're evolving, you know, as it was with Besser yesterday. It evolved to the point where the Canucks came up to the $50 million that Besser was asking for.
Yeah.
And in this case, they just don't end up getting Pugh Suter.
No. And, you know, on the Dvorak thing, which was interesting, and it's clear based on what Dolly reported, the Canucks were heavily interested. And, they, you know, he mentioned how Adam Foote and Garland also made pitches to Dvorak and that they offered multi-year. I don't think the AAV was close to five.
Yeah.
Whatever it was. But I do think had they got Dvorak, they would have made room to get Besser too.
Mm. Yeah, I guess it's possible that, you know, you offer 2 years, $6 million. So he's getting more money over 2 years, but it's...
Or even like 3 years or whatever it is.
If there's a multi-year deal on the table, but he got a pretty big, like a surprisingly big AAV from the Philadelphia
which
Flyers
tells me,
on 1 year.
Well, if he got 5.4, to your point, did the Canucks offer 2 years at six?
Yeah.
And you're pretty close on 1 year or 2 years at six
I play well this year. Cap goes up next year. Maybe I can get another $5 million. That's four more million than I'm looking at.
Again,
if
hypothetical.
You give me 2 years, $3
million. Hypothetical. Yeah. I don't know the numbers. But all I know is... When I asked, I'm like, hey, had you guys got another center? It's like, well, considering what Brock agreed to, we would have made it work.
Yeah.
Because they also checked in on Brock. Don't forget, Brock said this himself. The Canucks talked to him an hour before free agency started.
Yeah. And Patrick said it on our show yesterday. Like, if they were to sign a center, they would move somebody out. You know, people need to remember, you can go 10% above the cap in the offseason. You know? The St. Louis Blues, you know, who just signed Pugh Suter, guess what? They're over the cap right now. The Montreal Canadiens are over the cap right now. There are many teams that are over the salary cap. The Vegas Golden Knights, over the salary cap right now. You are allowed to sign players that take you over the cap in the offseason, up to 10% over the cap. Yeah, you eventually have to deal with your problem, but you don't have to do it right away. You can sign the player and figure it out later. If you want to pawn Teddy Bluger off on somebody, you want to pawn Dakota Joshua off on somebody, you can do all those things. Stop acting like this thing has to happen right now. Anyways. All right. Other thing that happened today. Canucks did sign a player. Canucks signed Pierre-Olivier Joseph 1 year, $775,000.
Oh, right. I forgot about that.
A one-way contract.
Yeah, and immediately it was, who are they trading? That's like the guy's making $775,000. He's the number seven defenseman.
Yeah. Who's, you know, been up and down in the AHL and NHL for... Basically his whole career. So.
And he has spent most of the time in the NHL the past couple of years as a depth guy, but he's switched teams, been on waivers, you know, been traded, been picked up, you know. So he's a very much a journeyman defenseman. And the Canucks it doesn't look like Christian Willanen's coming back. Cole McWard wasn't qualified. Akito Hirose is gone as well. Plus they also let Felton go. Mm-hmm. Christian Felton, the other defenseman under contract. That's four defensemen that went out the door. Now Mignot is replacing one. Vilander potentially replacing another one. They signed Schultz.
Yeah.
And the fourth one's Pierre-Olivier Joseph. So I think the numbers-wise, you look at it, it's just organizational depth. But I do think he has a chance of being here with the team if Vilander or Mancini aren't quite ready. Because who would you rather have as a seventh defenseman not playing? Vilander or Mancini or
the guy who just
Joseph?
Turned 26. Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably the guy who just turned 26. P.O. Joseph, the newest Vancouver Canuck. We'll see how things play out, but... probably, you know, you lose Noah Juulsen, so you're bringing in a depth defenseman that at least gives you the chance to say, hey, if one of our young guys doesn't make the team out of camp, they can go down to Abbotsford and continue to play there while until there's an opening through injury or otherwise with the big club. Not a bad idea. All right, into the Canucks Central Roundup. Brock Besser spoke to reporters today. Also had a really interesting quote with Ian McIntyre saying that essentially the Canucks had apologized to him about how the whole trade deadline thing went down, and they did it shortly after the trade deadline, realizing that Patrick realizing his words didn't come off the way that he intended. And while Brock was hurt by it still, he at least appreciated the apology at the same time.
Well, that's good context to know. And we talked about this before when it happened. Even if Patrick Allavin didn't mean it the way it came off, it didn't come off well.
Yeah.
You know, and Besser himself said it hurt, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so it's clear. So I'm glad there was some level of fence mending.
Yes.
That did happen here. And considering, you know, what it seemed like from the outside, and we saw the furor from the fan base on the eve of free agency.
Yes.
when people thought he is gone for sure, Brock, and how they didn't get anything for him for the deadline, and how he was treated and mistreated, and how poorly I reflected on management. And it's fair, you know, to have all those opinions, but it's good to know that, you know, behind the scenes, you know, there was some recognition that, okay, maybe we, you know, maybe I didn't say the right things here.
Yeah.
And we do care enough to mend the fence. And obviously things weren't so toxic between the two that he didn't want to be here, because he clearly just signed for 7 more years.
He signed up with the Vancouver Canucks for another 7 years. So time heals all wounds, as they like to say. Flames signed Morgan Frost to a 2-year, $4.375 million contract. One of the bigger moves on the day. It's been pretty quiet from an NHL perspective. Not that there's a ton left and available on the market. Winnipeg got Gustav Nyquist to a contract as well. So he's off the board. Good veteran player, has been in his career, that Winnipeg is going to probably fit in, and he'll score 30 to 40 points for them next year somehow. And the other one is Nick Ehlers, who's still a unrestricted free agent. Surprising that Ehlers is still on the board, at least from where I sit.
Yeah, I am surprised as well. And this is where I'm really curious. Is this a sign of him just not being sure where he wants to go because he has all these big offers, or were the offers not close to what he wanted and now he has to consider A, taking less than he wanted long term, or maybe to consider going short term somewhere?
Yeah. It's clear, like in the NHL, it's rare that the top free agents last this late into free agency. Like it just doesn't happen. Like baseball, guys wait in baseball for whatever reason. It's just a totally different offseason dynamic. But NHL and NBA, guys sign right away.
Yeah. Maybe a day to consider things. But now that we're, you know, getting close to 2 full days and going on day 3, it doesn't look good in terms of him getting what he wants.
So a couple of the big free agents still available, I guess, Ehlers, Brent Burns, and Dmitry Orlov would probably be the three biggest names still available and on the free agent board. Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah coming up. We'll get Kevin Woodley in on the conversation, what he thinks of the Canucks and whether or not they have the best goalie tandem in the league moving forward, with Thatcher Demko and Kevin Lankinen locked in. That's coming up next on Canuck Central.
Hitting the most important topics for Vancouver sports fans. The People's Show with Vic Nizar. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.